Okay, we're on page 31. We're going to start. What I'd like to do, from page 32 to 42, in the Maamar HaRavi, in our print, really from page 31 to 42, there's a long, can you call it a soliloquy? Is a soliloquy only if it's poetic? Soliloquy is only if it's poetic, not if it's more of a, what do you call it? This is more when a person goes on to a random chain of thought. There's words for that. Anyway. Something of thought. He has here something which I think is going to be very difficult to learn inside. I'd like to try to explain as best I can what he's going through. You have no idea where he's going until on page 42 he says, but this explains the name Alf Dal and Nunyut. So, I'll explain what he says. I would like to be magdim where he's coming from. We're talking about someone who's writing in the 13th century at a time where there were a lot of different thoughts about God. He's saying the following. First, let's review what we did last time. Last time, Hashem and Elikim, I think we got pretty clearly that Hashem is the Hashem HaEtzem, and Elikim is the intellectual. You can recognize that there's a creator, that's Elikim. What comes through Nevuah, through Har Sinai, that's Hashem. So Hashem Hu Elikim, Hashem is that God that Seichel tells us must exist. So that was we got some clarity on. Now the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is the Kol Yachel, we said, is the God that's perceived, in one way or another sense. And from that, he got into his whole arichos on the difference between perception and reality, which is the favorite philosophical topic about how do you know what's real and what's imagined. And the idea of perception making rules, is basic everywhere. In halacha also, I once saw from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the halacha is that snow's on Shabbos, the snow is not called noilod. It's not called created. Gemara talks about the fact that rain comes from the ocean and goes up to the clouds and comes down again, which apparently they were aware of 2,000 years ago. But when it talks about rain having traveled from the ocean to wherever you are, and the question of whether it's muktzah or not. The Gemara then asks whether snow is noilod, that's created on Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, snow just comes from upstairs to downstairs. It moves. It's not created. Now, in fact, it's created. There's no snow in heaven. So Rav Shlomo Zalman explains that certain halachas are based on perception. Muktzah is based on perception, not based on the facts, but on the fact that it's perceived. When it snows, you say the snow is coming down. You don't say the snow is forming in the atmosphere. So, based on perception, there are certain halachas that
apply. How is muktzah perception rather than fact?
Muktzah is most of muktzah, there's no difference between perception and fact, because something is muktzah, it's muktzah. But muktzah has to do with das. The fact that a person, if you take something that would otherwise be muktzah and you find a use for it and you plan to use it on Shabbos, you can change it. If you have a rock which is muktzah, and you decide you want to designate it to hold your door open, you can make it a ice muktzah. So,
Idea to the ibush of the toloyim that are created through the ibush of the peiros and so forth.
Oh, that's right. Things that are not perceivable, things that are so tiny they can't be seen, don't exist. When they become big enough, right, then they exist. Here, it goes through a long and rather difficult philosophical discussion about reality. And he says basically the following. He says, there are things that we see. He says, for example, two people see the sun. Both, what you see with your eyes is identical. What you see is identical. However, the way you would explain what you see can vary. It can vary greatly. One person sees the sun as a big light bulb in the sky, and one sees it as something gigantic. He talks about the fact that, again, presumably, it was well known. He doesn't claim to be the only one who knows it, But he writes about that the sun is 166 times the earth. He doesn't mean in mass, he means in diameter. There are things that a person, even in the 13th century, can look at the sun and can come to different conclusions, one person compared to another. He goes to this idea. He says that when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says that there are things you see that everyone sees the same, and then there are items that you perceive, that you sort of process, and you interpret what you saw. And the idea that he talks about is the fact that everyone sees the same thing and perceives things differently. The same thing is true about God. That's really what his arichus is. And he talks about the fact that Nevi'im see the Rabbi Nishalayim. The problem is Nevi'im have different descriptions of the Rabbi Nishalayim. Describe Hashem as a Ishmochama, or describe Hashem as an elderly person. Describe Hashem in many different phrases and forms. So he says, Bechush, they see the same. What the Navi sees is the same. And then perception could depend on the circumstance of the Nevuah. Could be different. It's the same God. It's just a question of how you perceive it. He says the problem with the philosopher is that anything that the five chushim don't give you enough information about is deemed to be impossible. An example which is given here is magnetism. Somebody tells you philosophically that you have a piece of metal. If you never saw a magnet, someone tell you, I have a magic piece of metal. It'll draw other metal to it. So you'll say it's impossible. Any philosopher will say it can't be. It's interesting here in the Asa Nechbad, later on page 41, he says, Ilusipru lefilosof. They tell a philosopher, Biplius evet a magnet, about the amazing magnetic bar. Echumoshech elov barzel, how it pulls metal to it, veich point the tomid al kaitav atzvaini, and it always points to the north. Kvar hoye machish ze achosha gedoyla. You would say it's absurd. Someone's fooling you. Hoye mesader hakdomais lebatel zen. He would give you all kinds of reasons that it's not so. Okay, shem rayim shukim, but now that they see that it is so, everyone's trying to figure out why it's that way. Now, to me, it's interesting because here we are 800 years later. They're still trying to figure out, why or what magnetism is. And then he has this another example. Mi hemen leinyer electric, electricisha shetegala bismanei nuzad. Now they have electricity. Who can explain the electric power? Well, what's his point? His point is that the mind is only capable of processing what it sees. If you see certain things, you can process what you see and you can try to make sense out of it. Something you can't see, your chushim don't, your hearing or your eyes or your feeling doesn't absorb. So you can't really process it. The mind only processes what comes to you through the chushim. He says, therefore, the understanding of godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can only come from a certain perception that people have of the Rabbi Nishalayim. The philosopher will deny it because his eyes and his ears and his nose and his mouth they don't have anything to process HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. Now, the purpose of the Nevuah was to give Klal Yisrael a better handle on an understanding of the Bari Olam. And for that reason, the Shem Adnus comes to us, or the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem Adnus comes to us through the Nevi'im, through the perception of the Nevi'im, and not through the philosophical understanding alone. Now, I would add that may be why it says, Ushmi Hashem lo inaydati lohem. I don't know if it refers to the Adnus as well, but Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, they were Imen on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just Mekayach there, enormous intellect, they were able to stand, to understand the Bairi Olam. That's not the Shem Adnus. Shem Adnus is when there's a certain perception. To us, it comes through the Nevi'im, and we have that type of a perception, then we could, give that a name. And that name is the name of Adnus. So Aleph Dalet Nun Yud means my master. It's a, like we say, a personal connection. What connection does a person have to Rabbi Nishalom? It's very, very difficult. Different people have different perceptions. He says, he gives a marshal. You have a king walking down the street. So a bunch of people look at him. So say, what does that look like? So one guy says, tall, skinny guy with a funny crown on his head and wearing a robe. And one person will say. Another person will say, oh, there's the man that signs all the laws into effect. See, he says they're both telling the truth. They're both saying exactly a correct description. But each one is based on his perception of what that person is. So you can have a king, and you can have different perceptions of what the king is. So,
but it seems to me this is like just a roundabout way of saying it's impossible for a human being to know anything about Hashem, but Hashem created a mechanism where at least in our minds we can relate to something, but even that something that we're relating to is not in fact Hashem. It's not.
Well, we hope it's a little piece of, a little glimpse of, from the Chorei HaParket of what we understand to be the Rabbi Nishalayim. It's a,
how could it be? Because we don't have, Hashem is kulo.
Yeah, at Smusa we don't know, but we know Kadosh Baruch Hu, the way he reveals himself to us.
Right.
And that all comes all to us through the Nevi'im. He says, Hashem Hevi'unu Adimyon Lamelech. He has on page 34, I'll give you an example. A king, Mishayimashu, Oruch, Halavon, he's tall, he's pale, I don't know, he's white. Haloivesh Hameshi is wearing expensive clothing. And they say, all right, Shai, he's got a crown on his head. Diamonds like, ain't a kaisiv. He's not missing in any description of the king. Mishiyai meshinenu kiim hamaskil hamakir hamitzave hamazir ba'aretz plainis. He's the boss. On this land, bizman plainis, aluma plainis, and then a kaisiv gamkin. It's also a description. Mokasharaya hanavi, ba'ayin anisteres atzura hatamima shabitzura isashara isay bidumas melachai shayfei. When it sees God in his nevuah, Yeshev HaKisein Din means Yimei Vazara commanding. So it's also true, but it's not the complete HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Me'akem he'ede yedeshu tzura ruyi l'melech navid v'nishma. That's roi for the king about who we say nasa v'nishma. Kashira demus naisa kelem, I naisibli sifrus, I chogur lavid avayda, any image he sees, yedeshu tzura ruyi l'avid shemea. It's an appropriate tzura, but it doesn't tell you what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. So the point that he's making is that the Shem Adnus doesn't describe, doesn't tell you who Hashem is. Shem Avai is, Shem Yochid is somehow telling you something about Hashem. Adnus is only the way I can perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why, how can I perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There are times, you know, times where things go well, a person is in a happy mood and he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu as benevolent. There are times that things go with difficulty, and even a Baal Batachin sees Hashem as mysterious. Why is he hiding from us? Why is he giving us these difficulties? We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu many different ways. So that's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, mine, my master, right? It's really Adoni, the Noi at the end is meant to be a more powerful expression, like an Esnachta, Sai Pasuk. But really, it's the God that I perceive. So that to one person it could be the Baal Mochama, to another person it could be the one who makes Gezeris, the other one it's a benevolent Hashem, and to most of us there are different times, different pictures of the Rabbi Nishalolo, and different images or ways we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's really beautiful about this is that it explains why when you see a Yud Kei Vav Kei in the Sefer Torah, you read Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Now that should be possible for laning. You know, what are you laning? You're not reading the word it says in the Sefer Torah. In the Sefer Torah it says Yud Kei Vav Kei. If you have to read Parsha Zachar, how do you read it different? The answer is that our perception of Yud Kei Vav Kei is expressed in Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is the Hashem that I could relate to. It's the Hashem the Navi saw, the Navi described. And I, as a child of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, so that's the lukus that we have. This afternoon, my grandson asked,
"What?" In the temple, they read it literally.
Oh, that's why. In the Beis Hamikdash, where there was some sort of Gilui Shechina, they said it differently. They said the Shem Havaya. My grandson asked me tonight, why it says in Chumash, Navi a few times, Ani Hashem, Elokei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. I am Hashem, and he comes to the Navi, he says, I'm God, the God of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So yes, me, there's no other God, just say Ani Hashem. What do you have to say, Elokei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Good question, no? So I told him, well, we do the same thing in Shemona Esrei. We say, Baruch Adash Yom Elokeinu. We say, okay, we say, okay, we say, okay. He said, why? So I said, because our recognition of Hashem is through the Avos. So the question was, so then why does God talk that way? So God talks that way too. God tells us, I'm the Hashem that you recognize through the Avos, through Nevi'im. The recognition of Hashem is that way.
It's the only thing we could understand.
It's the only thing that we could sense or understand. Yeah. And it changes. It really changes when the going is tough, you see Rav Shalom one way, and when the going is smooth, you see the other way. And little things take a person off also. You know, a person's going out when it's freezing outside and he slips on the ice, God forbid, and you know, he sees God one way and just the way we are. Someone is a Mamim Hashem, sees Hashem everywhere, but like the Navi, there are many faces to Hashem. So my goal here is to try to come away with something clear. So just like Hashem Olekim, I think we came away with a clear idea of those two names of Hashem, and they're very distinct. I think we're coming away with some clarity in the name Aleph Daled Nun Yud, why it's personal, Nai, my God, and why it's sort of limited. It's not Hashem HaMiyuchad. It's not the special name of Hashem, but it's my name of Hashem. It's the name of Hashem that I relate to. Adain, the master of everything. The master of everything is in everything that we see taking place. After he goes through this whole idea, this is all from page 31 to page 42, it's all a description of perception. He talks about Nevi'im at the end. Then he hits you on page 42. El kamayzeh yeh harebez aleph dalet nun yud linyan alakai nimtza kilu amar adayni. Period. And I have here a colon in mind as if finished. That's the Shem Adnus, and it's a style to sort of go off into the general description of perception, not perception. He likes to talk about astronomy. That's one thing I noticed. Anytime it's an excuse, he goes off into astronomical calculations, which he does be Iker in the Maamar HaSheni, but that's what he says. So I don't know, I hope we're getting a little bit of a clarity into these very, I think esoteric or not precise definitions, but as precise as we could be. We're trying to understand it, and okay, if we're at page 42, next time hopefully we'll be able to complete the Maamar HaRaviyi. It goes to 48, okay. We'll try. It's a challenging, believe me, I prepared Halacha Chayyodam. I needed 5 minutes for the 20 minutes. I prepared this, after Shachris went downstairs to try to learn through the pages, and I did it again in the house. So, okay. This is what we'll see. I see on page 42 on the bottom, he quotes a sefer, Rabbeinu Barkiel, Beprakov, who elaborates on this which Rabbi Dalevi just said, Devarim Amitiyah.